Shalom, everybody. Shavuot Tov. Good Voch. Sorry about those people in other countries who didn't know about the clock change and logged in a bit early. Jonathan, I see you were there. Okay, but said just in Israel right now, it is 9:30. So for those of you who didn't know. Okay. So we're in Perek Gimel, dealing with Bishvili Nivra Olam. If the world was created through me, for me, and I can be the fulfillment of the tachlis of the bria, kudu, just me, and of course everybody. But so we wanted to find out what the tachlis of the bria is. It doesn't help me to know that the tachlis of the bria can be filled through me if I don't know what the tachlis of the bria is. I know that I'm very choshuv in this tachlis of the bria. I'm a very important part of it. Bishvili nivra olam. That's the Mishnah. Chayv adam loyme. So it's obviously very important. Also, my life, we saw, even if I'm not doing any mitzvahs, I'm not doing anything, is critically important to Hashem, frightfully important. At Kreis, prepared a mavatl, the entire tachlis of the bria for me. So we need to know what the tachlis of the bria is, really. And this is the yesod that everything's built on. If you don't understand this, you don't understand anything. Just if you understand this, you might not understand anything either, but at least you've got a chance. But if you don't understand this, you don't understand anything. Mamish, nothing. So we saw the Ramchal is brought down in Derech Hashem, Das Tfunas, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, that Derech HaTov LaHeitiv, Hashem is the ultimate essence of goodness. He wants to give good. He is the ultimate good. Therefore, what he wants to give us is the ability to be with him, to cleave to him, to be shaykh to him, to be bonded with him, whatever that means, to be close to him. And we said that comes through by being like him, the Dimyon. We were created the Tzelem Elohim. We're going to deal with that now. We were created the Tzelem Elohim, which means we have in us a Dimyon, an ability to be like Hashem. And the way you get the ultimate reward, which Hashem wants to give you, which is himself, is by becoming more and more like him. That's it in a nutshell. There's a big piece here which he hasn't mentioned, so I'm not going to discuss it. Also, there's another piece you need to be mashlim, the sugya, but he hasn't mentioned it yet, so we won't mention it. So we said we would deal with Metz Hashem. We're on Nun Dalet, just after the halfway mark there. He brings the Ramban. Very interesting Ramban. Let's just remember, there's four levels of the Bria. There's Doimam, inanimate objects, plant life, the vegetable life, then there's the animal world, and then there's that's chaya, and then there's Adam Amadabe, which is we think we fit in. The whole human race, Adam, man, fits into level four. Let's see what the Ramban says about that. Haramba Seva Breishis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chavov, in the Pasha of Bries Adam Arishon, Mod Mat. We're learning Breishis. The Farish Kishne Yitziro Shoinas Hayyabe Briyas Adam. He points out that there were two completely different formations, creations, when it came to the Briya of Adam. Harishoini Yitziris Adam Agashmi. The first one was the physical Adam. This creature mitzarefs, it joins up with the rest of the Bria, and he becomes level four in the Bria. Amnam, he's for sure the pinnacle of the Bria Gashmi. Ach sof sofu Bria Gashmis, ibnefesh bahemis, hashoefes, the kachos, the kabel, kolazman. Nevertheless, he's part of that marechet of Gashmi, whose nature it is to take all the time. That's his teva. Lumazoy say yetzira shnia. There was a second creation of Adam. Ha'isim ebrias Adam. Yetziras Adam asher nufcha bo neshama elokis chelek elokai mimal. That was the Adam. That was the Adam who had and a Shoma blown into him by Hashem, and what Hashem blew into him was a piece of himself. This This is a completely different Bria that's not really connected to the four levels of the Bria that we've spoken about up to now. That's called the Yisrael Oved Hashem. He's the purpose of the Bria. That's the creature, this fifth level, this thing called Yisrael Oved Hashem. He was created Esa Adam B'Tzalmoy Yevivro Vivro from Bria Yesh Miayin Hashem Elokim Esa Adam B'Tzalmoy. He is Doim Eloboyre. And we'll see that's a big secret. That's a big key to understanding this whole sugya, is the dimyon that we have to Hashem. We have to see what that means. We Doim El Hashem. Well, what does that mean? Okay. The Yodei HaBechira Ha'im Lintoysu L'Lech Esach HaNefesh HaBehemis. For the purposes of this discussion, this is a massive discussion, but for the purposes of this discussion, we're going to zone in and focus the microscope on this Nakuda. He has Bechira, and he has the Bechira to decide where he's going to go off these Nefesh Behemis. He's going to become, just take more from the world. Or Shema Yaski Vetzlich Lelech Azach HaNefesh Elokis Shebo Yesh Tchunos Elokis. Or he can go after that godly dimension, that godly nefesh that he has, which is liyos noisen lebay roilam, to be a giver, but ultimately to be a giver to the boy roilam. And we'll see, we spoke about what that means a little bit, what it means to give to Hashem, we have to deal with. Who noisen lebay roilam, so what does he give Hashem? And we'll see this giving is actually a taking, and Hashem's taking is actually a giving, but we'll work that through. But for now, what he gives Hashem is the ability to give to me. We have to understand what that means. What I'm giving Hashem is what he really wants, is to give to me. That's why Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world because he wants to give me. Yeah? So when I go after my neshama, I'm drawn after my neshama, not after my guf. Let's call it that way, the nefesh behemis, the nefesh elokis, whichever you want to cut that, yaitza tov, yaitza hora, no matter what you call it. When you do the right thing, in just simple English, then you give Hashem the opportunity to give to you. And when you don't, then you don't give Hashem, you're deprive Hashem the opportunity to give to you. Okay, now we have to understand the big key here, the massive, massive key over here that we have to understand. Vine, Kol Adam, we'll come back to this. Kol Adam, Hashem is nosa ipam b'kabolos toiv l'michaveri mibli yecholet l'achzi yodei el nochon. When somebody gives you something and you have no way of repaying them, no way, you can't even say thank you, no way to pay them back, you know that it is not a nice feeling. Taking something for nothing leaves you with a very icky feeling, and it can even, if it's real charity or having to, whatever, it can lead a person to terrible low feelings. Much better for a person to earn what he gets than to get it for nothing, to get it at stocker. A person would rather go to work and make a living and work and get a salary than to take stocker. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he did it in such a way that a person has to be makrim himself to a certain extent. A person has to use his bechira to not do really what he wants to do, but what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants him to do, to give to Hashem. In the end, he'll get the reward for what he did as a salary. He earned it. It's his. He worked for it and he earned it. Not that he got it for nothing. That causes kaviyochel, whatever that means, pleasure and enormous happiness, whatever, shashua, for the boreilam. That means the tachlis of the bria is for Hashem to give, but he wants to give the ultimate good. Ultimate good is him. But if in order for it to be the ultimate good, you have to earn it. You can't get it for nothing. You can't get it for nothing. You have to have the ability to choose to do it or not to do it. So when you choose to do it, you've earned it. You had a nisoyin, you struggled, you battled, you were makriv yourself, you gave up your own personal desires and wishes, and you chose to raise yourself to a different level and to do what Hashem wanted. And in such a way, you're giving Hashem an opportunity to give back to you. But when you get that giving, you've earned it. You didn't get it for nothing. When a person does that, he's opening up, he's revealing, he's strengthening the Tzelem Elokim that he has within him already. When he does that, he grows this internal program, this underlying program that's running the system, this godly aspect that he has that's hidden inside of him, that's imprinted inside of him, implanted inside of him. And he becomes more and more like the Boira. He's becoming more doima and doima like Boira. And the more he becomes like the Boira, the more he's dobek in the Boira. That's the Kedusha, that the upper Kedusha, the Kedusha that's above him, the higher Kedusha that he's now bringing via the mitzvahs into his own system. Kema mitzvahs b'kavona nechoina. When you do the mitzvahs with the correct kavona, what is the correct kavona? I'm doing the mitzvahs in order that I should be a vessel, whatever that means. I will be the person that will be fitting, that will be matim for me to get the reward, the barakah that Hashem wants to give me. Now I'm enabling Hashem to fulfill his rotzon for why he created the world. With Tuchal Midas Toiva, his Golos Alai Bakol Tukfa Voiz, and Hashem's Midas Toiva can now reveal itself on me with all its koyach. It's quite a mouthful. It's a big story. But it's the final piece of understanding why Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world in order to give good. He created creatures that are lacking, but that are able to get the good. But it's not enough to just be a receiver, to just get the good, because you're not doing melaboyre. The good is to be like Hashem. That's what he's giving us. The good that he's giving us is our ability to be like him in the next world, ultimately. Yeah, also a little bit, we said, Lisanegel Hashem. But ultimately, to get the Sechai in the next world, the Sechai in the next world is you'll become more and more like Hashem. You'll be more dovuk in Hashem, because that's what close to Hashem means. It doesn't mean close, it means doime. To be doime to Hashem, you have to be a giver, because Hashem is ultimate giver. You can't be a taker and be doime la Hashem. Therefore, Hashem gives us the ability to be a shutuf b'maisa b'reishis by giving to Hashem. What are you giving Hashem? You're giving Hashem the ability to give you the reward, because you can't get the reward for nothing. You have to earn it, because if you don't earn it, it's going to be an icky reward. It's not going to be the ultimate good. It's going to be chaser. Rather give somebody an ability to make a living than to give him tztoka. It's halacha mufreshet by Rambam. The highest level of tztoka you can do for a person is giving the ability to make a living. Wow, just give him money. No, because if you give him money, it feels icky. It's not, he becomes a taker. That's not what he wants to be. We want to be givers. Ein Shamber of Desla that I mentioned the other day. Well, that's the vote. Okay.
Can I just ask you quickly while you're on that topic? We said before that was one of the questions that you raised was, how come you considered considered like you creating the world with Hashem when you make Kiddush? Like, and you gave the example of Microsoft, of giving them 10 cents and all of a sudden you own 50% of the company. So according to what you say now, then any single mitzvah that you do, you really, you shut off in the Maaseh Bereishis with Hashem. It's not only Kiddush, it's anything that you do, you actually, you're helping Hashem. So why doesn't it say it by everything else? Why does it specifically say it by Kiddush?
Good question. First of all, brilliant observation. And second of all, very good question. Okay, good question. I don't know. Good question. The observation is the observation. The observation that you've made is that you become a shutuf b'maaseh b'reishis in every positive thing you do. Everything you do which carries with it reward, you're being a shutuf b'maaseh b'reishis. He's going to discuss it at length. Why Dafka that mentions it there, Dafka by Kiddush? I don't know. Maybe we'll... Rupinkas in Shabbos Maschosa discusses that a little bit. Maybe we'll pick that up. I don't know. I'm going to stay with the Tzarichion on that question. It's an unbelievably good question. We have to deal with it. I thought you were going to ask the other question, which I'm just going to pose the question now. Mr. Shem will deal with an answer later. I'm going to now want this question to sit a little bit. I thought that was the question you were going to ask. And that is why Hashem just create creatures who don't feel icky when they take? And you could have avoided the 6,000 years of the world. Make creatures who receive and feel wonderful when they receive. That's all. Why did Hashem have to make us in such a way that when we don't earn it, we get it for nothing, we feel icky? That's the famous question everybody usually asks at this stage of the game. And the answer is unbelievable, but I want this problem to sit for a while, because otherwise you won't appreciate the answer. You have to struggle on this one for a while. Hashem could well have created the world. Let's just think about it. Where do we come from? We come from Hashem, right? It means we were with Hashem. We weren't dovuk with Hashem. As Bacha said, did Hashem just give and give and give? That's what you need to do. Give. No, because if you're going to receive without having earned it, it's not the ultimate. It's second-rate pleasure. So Hashem creates the world, sends us down here with Bechira in order to earn the reward. And then when we get back to being Dovuk in Hashem, like we were before, we'll have earned it. We wouldn't have got it for nothing. And we've mentioned the whole Bria is created. The whole Bria is based on that three-phase principle. First, you get it for nothing. Then it gets taken away. You earn it, and then you get it back again. Why does Hashem do that? Just create us in such a way that we enjoy getting things for nothing. And then you don't have to go through stage 2 and 3. You just have stage 1. We are with Hashem. We're receiving the ultimate good. Hashem's giving and everyone's happy. Why don't you do it like that? Okay, so we'll see that there's a chesor in Hashem couldn't do that. And we have to understand why, but let's hold that for now, unless you know the answer. But otherwise, hold that for now, but hold that tight, because that's a real, real big problem. And the answer to that is scintillating. Okay. Fine. So now, when a person does a mitzvah, as Jonathan pointed out correctly, he is not just doing a mitzvah. He's doing something which will enable Hashem now to fulfill the purpose of the Bria. A person puts on tefillin. Hashem told you to put on tefillin. You're putting on tefillin. You'd rather not. You'd rather sleep another hour, whatever. But you get up and put on tefillin. Oh, no, you want to put on tefillin. Lom Hashanah. You put on tefillin. So in Achinami, you're putting on tefillin. You're going to get schar for that. There's reward for that. And that's how we look at it. But you're missing the whole point. The Bishvil Livra Ilam is lurking in those tefillin. When I put on tefillin, I'm going to get a schar. Why am I getting a schar? Because that's why Hashem created the world, because he wants to give. And you just gave Hashem the opportunity to give to you, because if you didn't do the mitzvah, Hashem can't give it to you, because you didn't earn it. And Hashem's not going to give you something if you don't earn it. We'll see that's 100% correct. Those of you with us last month will remember. When we get to the last chapter, we'll see there is this dimension that Hashem does give us things for nothing. But we'll get there. Let's get there first. In the meantime, the Marechet is built in such a way that if you don't earn it, you don't get it. So if you don't earn it, you don't get it, you're preventing Hashem from fulfilling the tachlis of the Bria. And when you do the mitzvah, you're not able to fulfill the tachlis of the Bria. That's what the mitzvah is all about. And that's what he explains here. Zeh pirish divrei chachmeinu. Chazal explains, chah mitzvah mitzvah. What's pshat schar mitzvah mitzvah? So we understand usually schar mitzvah means that when you do a mitzvah, Hashem gives you the opportunity to do another mitzvah. And there's truth in that as well. It's Rashi and Chumash also says such an idea, but there's a deeper idea here. Hainu she'ika mitzvah hi lo mitzvah ba'atzmoy. The ika mitzvah isn't the mitzvah. For sure the mitzvah is important. I'm not saying not, but that's not the ikka. That's not why there's a mitzvah. The reason why there's a mitzvah is for the schar of the mitzvah. Marshal Yodake Vyokol Nitenes Evshrut Laboy Oinam Letet Lo Schar Aleya. The mitzvah is Eiche Timtze for the schar. When you do a mitzvah, you now gave Hashem an opportunity to do the mitzvah. So what schar mitzvah means that the ikka of the mitzvah is the schar. That's the ikka giving. We're giving Hashem. We're giving him the opportunity to give to us. A person who's living with this perspective of reality only takes from the world when he knows that taking is what Hashem wants. Hashem will be nene kiviyochel from that taking. This Yisrael Oyver Hashem, it doesn't want to take just for the sake of taking. Who Naitel Hashem Nesina, he takes in order to give. Same as Hashem. When he takes something, he takes in order to give, like we mentioned, Moshe Feinstein, other examples. He's taking in order to give. L'shem grimas tainug v'shashul amala, whatever that means, the words are very, very crude, to give happiness and tainug and to cause enormous happiness in the higher worlds. When this is not going to give Hashem pleasure, whatever that means, a lot of potential apikorsis in these words. You have to be careful what you're saying. But we're talking Beloshen B'nei Adam, yeah? Let's just use that as an excuse, even though we don't know what that means, but let's just use that as the temporary excuse for what we're saying. And that a person doesn't take anything in this world unless he knows that Hashem is going to get some kind of, whatever that means, benefit from that, some pleasure, some nachas, whatever that means. Obviously, you can't give Hashem pleasure or nachas because Hashem's not lacking anything. So you can't give him anything. It's not like he's sad and now you do the mitzvah and now he's happy. Your mitzvah don't change Hashem bichlal. That's the problem here. Okay, but using Loshen Ben Adam, whatever that means for now, that's a good enough excuse. We have to understand also what that means. But let's go weiter. But derech zu Adam oivir es Hashem yisparach 24 shot. Now, you're serving Hashem 24 hours a day. Gam kishu yeshen. Kudnoitu min o'ilam. Is hanois hashena when you're sleeping. You're taking out of the world the benefit, the pleasure, the rejuvenation, unbelievable chesed of sleep. Thank Hashem for sleep. You know unbelievable chesed sleep is. If you couldn't sleep, you wouldn't be able to rejuvenate. You just get tired and tired and tired, and you just carry on just dysfunctionally going through this world, exhausted, tired. Person goes to sleep exhausted, tired, he's finished. Your mama, she can't function anymore. He wakes up 6 hours later, refreshed, ready, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, depends what you need. And he wakes up rejuvenated, refreshed, but doing nothing. He just went to sleep. And if he went to sleep for the right reason, because he wants to use the sleep in order to do more and more, so the sleep is also considered a giving to Hashem. Eating. Very important three words. This generation's lost this concept completely. You know Hashem in all your ways. Essentially, you can do anything. If Hashem's involved in this, this is what Hashem wants. You're utilizing the Bria properly. We're not a generation that has to manatek and disconnect and run away from Gashmias in order to serve Hashem. There's other ways to serve Hashem by using the Gashmias correctly. It's much more dangerous. It's much more easy to fool yourself. You can just cut yourself completely like the Goyim do and go live in a monastery somewhere. It might be a lot easier, but then we're not in the world for easy. It's much harder to engage the physical world and elevate it. We'll see, that's what Avraham Avinu's Chiddush in the world was. His Chiddush wasn't Hashem. He didn't Megal Hashem in the world. That was known already. What he was Megal in the world was mitzvah. What he was Megal in, the only way to connect, to bring Hashem into our world, for us to connect to Hashem's world, is via this interface called mitzvah. That was Avraham Avinu's Chiddush. It means Avraham Avinu's Chiddush was that you have to engage this world and impregnate it with Kedusha. By mitzvah, via mitzvah. That's the only way to do it. There is no other way to do it. So that's b'kol drachechadayu. Use the world correctly. You're having an ice cream. You said, I have an ice cream, but why are you having the ice cream? So the question is not, what am I going to do? The question is, why am I doing this? Why do I want $50 million? You want it for the right reason? Go ask for it. You'll get it. If it's good for you, if it's not good for you, you won't get it. Okay, it's a whole paradigm shift in the way we look at life, no? I mean, I think it is. Klal Shildover. So, to summarize. Kakol Shayudi Einu Noitel Ela Noisen. To the extent that a Jew takes, gives, and doesn't take, V'kach Mitchazek HaDimyon Benatzul Ela Yoytre. So, through that process, the similarity, the dimion between the creator and the creature becomes more and more similar. It becomes more and more like the creator. And as a result of that, we cleave to Hashem more because you're becoming more and more like him. And that's the tachlis of the Bria. This unbelievable shleimus, this giving that Hashem wants to give us, this ultimate teva of Hashem, of giving, of being good, is revealed in the world more and more and more, and revealed in me more and more and more. That's the tachlis of the Bria. That's what means, we'll see now, he'll deal with the shutfas, what is called shutfas. That's the underlying pinnings of why Hashem created the world. And of course, there's depths within you and there's subtleties within you which are unbelievable. But that's the Ramchal. That's both the Arizal says the same thing. Rizal Salanta speaks about this as well. Everyone talks about this. I don't think there's any machlekas about this. There's ramifications here which become the subject of major machlekas. Aval the etzem yesod that Hashem wants to give derech hatov lehitiv, and he wants to give himself because that's the ultimate good. He doesn't want to give you second grade good. He wants to give you the ultimate good, which is himself. And that in order to be like Hashem, which is to get close to him, to get that reward, you have to be doimelo. So he created us betzelem ubedumus. And betzelem and dumus we're talking about here is the ability to give, the ability to give unconditionally, and that. That's where we are doing Mela Hashem. That's why when you're giving, that's what Rav Dessler says in Kuntras HaChesed. When you're giving to Hashem, you couldn't be closer to Hashem. And when you're taking, you couldn't get further away from Hashem. So in the Matanas Yichye, it's not just because I don't like taking presents because I'm beholden and it's not good and you should earn your own way and you shouldn't become a bum and take from. That's not pshat. I mean, that may be true, but that's not what it's about. So in the Matanas Yichye is because as you're taking, you couldn't get further away from Hashem at that moment. This has to be clear. Hashem can't take. He doesn't have any aspect of taking in him. Therefore, when you're taking, you couldn't be more dissimilar from Hashem. And when you're giving, well, especially when you're giving unconditionally, which as we'll see is a big question here. When you're giving unconditionally, you're giving not because you want to take. You're giving because you want to give. You couldn't get more closer to Hashem at that moment. And that's why the whole world swirls around those two middas. Every rishus comes out of taking and every good comes out of giving. Those are the two middas. I don't want to go right in the sefer, but I'll just point this out to you at a societal level. We might have spoken about this before, I don't remember. But at a societal level, Rav Dessler points out, a society like our societies today that are built on rights, you know, there's animal rights, women's rights, there's rights for everything today, is a society that's doomed to misery. Doomed to misery. Because rights, having rights is a taking. I have a right, so then I'm taking. The Torah doesn't have any rights. In the Torah, you have 613 obligations. You have no rights in the Torah whatsoever. I mean, you do have rights, but we don't start with the rights. We start with my obligation becomes your right. But we don't start at the end, it looks the same. What do I mean? I have an obligation not to steal. Therefore, you have a right, so to speak, that your house shouldn't be stolen. Yeah? But it doesn't start with your right. It starts with my obligation. In the secular world, it starts with your right. You have a right to your property. Therefore, I'm not allowed to steal. But not because I have an obligation, just because you have a right. So I have to fulfill your rights, but not because I have an obligation. There's a very big difference. The end result's the same. I'm not allowed to steal, and you're entitled to not have your house stolen.
But why is that any different under secular law?
Well, I'm explaining. Because, let me finish my sentence. I'm explaining what the difference is. If the starting point is my obligation, okay, and everybody's focusing on their obligations and not on their rights, then everybody will get what they want without taking. The minute it's based on rights, so no one's stealing because everyone's upholding their rights, okay, but at the root of that society is based on taking, not on giving. At the end of the day, if everybody does what they're supposed to do, no one will steal. Gewaldic. But in the Torah world, it will be because people are fulfilling their obligations. They're giving. And in the secular world, because people are taking. They're demanding their rights. I have a right. Give me my rights. Give me what's due to me. In the Torah world, you don't have a right. You don't have a right. I have an obligation not to steal. So I'm giving, not taking. There's an enormous difference in societies. And you'll see that. The society that built freedom and rights more than any other society ever did in the history of the human race was America, and the most miserable society. No society consumes more antidepressant drugs than America. You would think that should be counting. That doesn't make sense. Society that reached the pinnacle of giving people rights and allowing people to fulfill their rights and their freedom of expression, etc., 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 should be the happiest society in the world. And we see that it's not. It's not. The happiest societies in the world are the ones that are fulfilling obligations. I'm not talking about oppressive, dictatorial societies where you get beaten into doing what you have to do. I'm not talking about North Korea people who will probably be miserable there as well. But that's also a society based on taking. Taking of the few from the many. I'm talking about a society that's focusing on its obligations and fulfilling its obligations. Those societies, those neighborhoods, those areas we'll go into where people are fulfilling the Torah because of, they understand what Torah is about, those are the happiest people in the world, even when they are poor and they don't have all their freedoms and rights and gashmis and everything that the world conned us into thinking makes you happy. They don't have any of that, but they're the happiest people in the world because they're fulfilling the obligations. And when you're doing what you're supposed to do, that's what makes you happy. Why? Because you're getting close to Hashem. When you're close to Hashem, you're happy. When you're far away from Hashem, you're miserable. And that's a big mistake that the world is making, focusing more and more on rights. So then you become a taker, you become miserable. When you're focusing on obligations, when I'm focusing on what my obligations are, so I'm happy because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay, Mr. Hashem, we'll continue this tomorrow. You have to hold tight here. This is there's a lot going on here. And Metz Hashem, we'll also have a look at that answer to that question is why Hashem couldn't have created us without this problem of bread of shame. Just creates us in a way that we love taking. Okay, we just gave you the clue to that answer, to answer that question. And Metz Hashem, we'll look at it deeper. Metz Hashem, we'll start looking at it a little bit more deeply tomorrow. Beseder Gomo.
Thanks, Rav.
Thank you so much, Rav Shem.
Sorry we got you out of bed this morning too early, Jonathan, but you're supposed to keep track of what's going on in Israel. Right? Today it's,
at least you replied, and at least I knew I could come on still for the shiur.
Yeah, Bezrat Hashem. We'll have to see how it affects the other times of the shiurim. I don't know. We'll see. Okay, but in the meantime, we're sticking to 9:30. Erev Shabbos, I don't know. We'll have to see. And then the Monday night shiur, I don't know how that 9 o'clock slot will suit you because it'll be 9 o'clock by you, not 8 o'clock by you. We'll have to see.
Now, don't worry about me. Do whatever works, and I'll try.
I don't worry. I just want to make sure that we try and accommodate where we can. If we can't, we can't. So just let me know how that time works with you. If we need to maybe play with the time there, I don't mind. Okay. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy your winter, and enjoy the short days and the long nights, whatever that's about. The Seder. All right. Kol Tuv, Zagzunt.